9:32 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us on the Window Nation guest hotline from the Baseball Factory, he is Steve Bernhardt. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Rob. Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. Steve, the Washington Nationals had the number one overall pick, and I'm not even going to ask you who they'll get, but I've never seen a situation where a team got rid of the manager slash head coach, I'm saying any sport, and the GM at one time, and that time is like a week before one of the most coveted times in your franchise, that's the draft.
I would agree with you. I haven't seen anything like it before. Their scouting director with the Nationals moved over there a year ago from the Orioles, Brad Ciolek.
Yeah.
So I guess that puts a lot of pressure on him. I'm not sure who else will be involved in the decision-making. I haven't really heard anybody named right now. So, it's a challenging situation for a team that seems like they're on the cusp with a lot of young guys, and you don't want to miss when you've got that first overall pick.
You know, we always talk about the NFL drafts regarding strength of the draft in general, strength of positions, good quarterback class, good, you know, offensive line class. How does this class rate? Or even do that in baseball. And how would this, you know, what would be the strength of this year?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. One, it's a good draft and it's pretty deep, which obviously bodes well for the Orioles having six picks in the top 100. It's the two kind of, I guess, storylines are there are a few really good college left-handed pitchers at the top. There's Cade Anderson from LSU who could possibly go number one, Jamie Arnold out of Florida State, and Liam Doyle out of Tennessee. So they'll all go in maybe the top five picks, likely the top 10. And then the other deep area is high school shortstops. Obviously, Jackson Holliday's brother Ethan is a shortstop right now.
Yeah.
Another guy who could go number one overall to the Nationals. I think he's the best player in the draft, left-handed hitter. He's bigger and a little more physical than Jackson, maybe not as quick and athletic. Probably ultimately is a third baseman in the big leagues, but, you know, a shortstop now. Another kid out of Oklahoma named Eli Willits, whose dad Reggie played in the big leagues for a while. He's going to go pretty high. And really, there's probably about seven or eight high school shortstops that could all go in the first round this year.
Can Ethan grow a mustache? Because I'm not sure Jackson can. I mean, they have the babiest of baby faces I've ever seen. Steve, we talk about this every year where the Orioles are going to be picking. What do you see around there? Because I was looking at, I saw a high school third baseman that I think MLB had them slotted to take. That was Xavier Nyans. What do you feel about where they're picking and what might be available?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because people don't even know what's going on at the top, like we talked about with the Nationals. So when you pick 19th, you got to have to see what falls to you. I know the Ravens have been good at it on the football side, and it seems like a good player always falls to them. You know, I guess the first inclination with the Orioles and their recent history is you think of a middle-of-the-field college player with power, you know, and left-handed hitter at that, if possible. So, you know, you hear names like there's an outfielder at a University of Arizona named Brendan Summerhill, who's a good left-handed hitter. He's about 6'3", played well in the Cape a couple years ago and had a decent year at Arizona with a little bit of an injury. Jace Laviolette is a kid at Texas A&M that kind of fits that profile. He's 6'6", left-handed hitter coming into this college season. He was talked about as maybe being going 1-1, but definitely a top five pick. Didn't perform as well, you know, still hit 18 home runs, but it wasn't the 29 he hit the year before. So he's got some speed. He probably could play center field, big kid, power, just didn't perform. So he's another guy that kind of fits that could be there. Jeremy, you said Xavier Nyans. He's a possibility, too, if you go in the high school ranks. Another left-handed hitter. He's from Washington State. He's like 6'4". Aggressive swinger, a lot of power, you know, like a lot of high school kids, some swing and miss. You know, there's a high school shortstop, Steele Hall out of Alabama, that maybe could fall in that range that kind of fits plus speed. He's from Alabama, like Gunner, but he is a right-handed hitter. A guy that can really stay at shortstop, pretty good swing, just not as physical right now. So some of that group probably is on their list. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine they'd all fall kind of in that range of 19th pick.
Here with Steve Bernhard from the Baseball Factory. Steve, you said Orioles have six out of the first 100 picks. That's like every 17 picks of what average the Orioles are picking. This club needs pitching. Is this a draft that the Orioles can take advantage of and get some good pitching?
I think they could. They usually don't take it real high. After that 19th pick, they pick 30th and 31st. So there could be, you know, a college starter that maybe would be appealing to them. They could be available in that range. If anybody watched the College World Series, like the number two starter at LSU, Anthony Ianson, had a really good year. Mm-hmm. He's got an electric arm. He might be available there. There's a kid out of Southern Mississippi named J.B. Middleton, who's another right-handed pitcher and a long track record of success, won a lot of games this year, strike thrower. Good stuff, that kind of starter profile. So somebody like that might fit in that 30 or 31st pick if they decide to go pitching. I would have a hard time seeing them go with a high school pitcher, so I think a college arm might make some sense.
College players seem to make sense because, you know, they don't take as long in the minors usually. But is there any reason, because since Rob brought up pitching, that was in my mind, they seem reluctant historically to draft pitchers. And we don't have any pitching right now. Is there a reason for this besides kind of what we were just talking about with, you know, some of their past?
Well, I think, you know, the Orioles utilize analytics extremely well, and they put a lot of weight in it. And certainly the riskiest demographic is high school pitchers with injuries, without panning out. They haven't faced as much competition. To your point, Ed, it's a little safer to take a college player, not just because they're closer to the big leagues, but also it's usually, you know, if it's an SEC or ACC pitcher, it's a track record of facing some pretty good competition. Yeah. You feel more comfortable with it. And I think just, you know, the analytics usually say that, you know, a position player is a little bit safer bet. If you're going to kind of stack those picks early on, you take a bunch of talented, either really talented, tooled up high school players or college guys that have performed, you've got a better shot at getting them to the big leagues and having them be an impact guy. But you're right. You know, obviously the farm system's a little thin on pitching now. So perhaps that philosophy changes a little bit and they grab a couple earlier than they have in the past.
Steve, if you haven't been on top of it, feel free to pass on this. But like the Orioles farm system, looking at Basayo, one of the reasons that he hasn't come up to the majors, I mean, he hit another bomb last night. It's just ridiculous. They talk about his defense behind the plate. Do you remember anything of like following him, covering him? And what do you think about some of the top prospects we have now with Baltimore? Anybody you really like?
Yeah, with Basayo, I did not see him when he was young in person. So I've just kind of seen stuff on video, and obviously the power looks legitimate. And, you know, it seems like it's just a matter of time before he comes up. You know, I like Enrique Bradfield. I saw him when he was a young high school player, and and certainly that speed plays every night. Vance Honeycutt, the first rounder from last year out of North Carolina, is an interesting kind of power-speed combo, really good athlete to me as well. And the Griff O'Farrell kid was a shortstop taken out of University of Virginia. I don't know him personally. I know a lot of people close to him, and he's supposed to have makeup off the charts and just a worker and a guy that I could see being a productive big leaguer, almost like the Jordan Westberg kind of profile. Like, you're not exactly sure where he ends up. He can play a bunch of different spots, but just a gamer type of kid.
Hey, man, tell us where to follow you on social media during this draft.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's Twitter, it's Steve_Bernhardt. And we've got the UA Next Prospect Tour that we do in conjunction with Under Armour for high school players that's kicking off in a couple weeks that we'll be going around the country. And actually, our UA Next All-America game is coming to Camden Yards this year. So September 13th, we'll have the next generation of hopefully the best high school players in the country. We had Gunner and Jackson Holiday and Kobe Mayo and even guys like Cal Raleigh and James Wood in that game. So hopefully we'll bring some good players to Camden Yards for local folks to take a look at.
Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate your time on this Wednesday.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, man, for having me, guys.